Hi guys, I'm Nicole,
And I'm Christian.
and we are The Crime Couple!
Episode 2.
So, we are going to do a little introduction, right, of who we are, because we didn't do that the first episode.
We kind of were just gun-shy and just ran straight through it and just wanted to get to the finish.
But now we've received some feedback, and what we're going to do and how the podcast is going to work is basically I am going to do the research on the cases, and Christian will be hearing it for the first time, like you guys. So hopefully you guys will have similar reactions.
We're gonna raw dog this bitch.
So, if you have any questions or any other feedback, like I said, that was really great, so please do provide. Otherwise, we'll just get going with episode 2. Alright, I titled the beginning of this section, Satan's Daughter.
What's the title of the episode?
I haven't thought of an episode title yet, so
wow, we can slipping.
No, well, because I figured we'd think of it during the filming.
Okay, kind of like a songwriter?
I don't know, maybe, or maybe you'll say something funny. By the way, this episode is excruciatingly painful. There's so much.
Keep in mind, Nicole's also, like, super dramatic, so.
No, this one's really bad.
They die.
There's a lot of death, but there's also a lot of sexual assault. There's a lot of sexual abuse. There's a lot of kids that get hurt, so just keep that in mind. If that isn't, I don't hope that's not your thing, but if you're extra sensitive in those areas, it might be triggers. Okay, Satan's Daughter. Rosemary Pauline Letts was the fifth child of Bill and Daisy Letts, born in Northam, Devon, which is southwest England, on November 29th, 1953. And Bill was a violent schizophrenic who took pleasure in beating his wife and children. So these fits of rage and aggressive behavior obviously caused him to bounce around from jobs, which left the family short on money. Daisy, on the other hand, was so deeply depressed that she was treated with electroconvulsive therapy when she was pregnant with Rose.
Is that like the shock chair?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what year is this again?
1953.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so Rosemary was a baby, and it says there hasn't been much research on the use of ECT with pregnant patients, but given the damage ECT can do on a patient, it seems unlikely the fetus wouldn't be affected.
Yeah, from how the thing, like eating shellfish, can affect the baby, I imagine shocking your brain is gonna have a worse or similar reaction.
Well, Rose ended up developing a habit of rocking herself as a baby. She'd hit her head so violently on the entire crib that it would move across the room.
So directly paralleling how her mom was tortured.
Well, she's just a baby.
Yeah, but I mean, her mom was shocked in the head, and she's, like, having these, like...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's, like, kind of... Yeah. I mean, adjacent, you know?
Yeah, honestly, that's a really good... I didn't even think about that. Wow. That's crazy. When she got older, though, she wouldn't just rock her whole body. She would just rock her head for hours on end until she got into, like, a trance.
It's because she's got Pikachu on the mind. Does that mean?
Rose was chubby and not the smartest tool in the shed, which made her a field day for the school bullies. But she'd literally attack anyone who teased her. So, you know, in that sense...
Oh no, I feel bad for her. It's like me growing up. I wasn't smart and I was super chubby.
At the beginning, you're like, oh darn, that's like such unfortunate circumstances. You have two really mentally ill parents, but... You will not feel bad for her at the end of this episode. She made herself her father's pet to escape the beatings, but also she had really strange sexual tendencies, and it's thought that Rose might have avoided his beatings because they were sexually intimate. She'd walk around naked after baths and fondled her younger brothers sexually. In early 1969, Daisy left abusive Bill and took Rose with her. So at this point, she's 15. Yeah, she's 15.
And he's like, kidnapped her, or...
No, no, Daisy left. So Daisy's the mom, and Daisy left the dad and took Rose with her.
Good, as she should.
They moved into Daisy's daughter's Glennis home, but it was only a few months before Rose ended up moving back in with her father, which I feel like adds more to the sexual assault argument.
I mean, just the cycles of abuse.
It was around this time, at age 16, that she met her future husband. Frederick Walter Stephen West was born on September 29th, 1941, in Much Markle, Herefordshire, to Walter Stephen West and Daisy Hannah Hill. They were a family of farmers with no money to spare. He was extremely close with his mother, and he was constantly in trouble. But his mom would go down to the school and yell at the teachers for disciplining her, quote, favorite son.
No comment. There's a complete opposite. My mom would go down to the school and, like, side with the teachers and be like, yep, my son's a piece of shit.
I was an angel and never in trouble, so.
I got straight A's.
I did. No surprise that he dropped out of school at 15 and worked as a farmhand. When he was 17, he was in a severe motorcycle accident that left him in a coma for a week with a metal plate in his head, which some speculate added to his aggressive behavior. You know how if you have damage to your frontal cortex, you're, like, that's one of the known signs that you're a psychopath?
I did not know that. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. A lot of serial killers ended up having brain damage, or they had, like, an accident where they were hit in the head when they were a child, when they were still developing. Okay. So, he ended up getting kicked out of the house at 19 after he raped and impregnated a 13-year-old friend of the family. When he was confronted with this, Fred responded, "Well, doesn't everyone do it?"
Wow.
A year later, Fred's parents let him come back and live with them. Raina Costella, a previous girlfriend of Fred's, also joined in his parents' home. Did I mention that she was pregnant with another man's baby? Regardless, they married in November and immediately moved back to Scotland. But when Raina gave birth to Charmaine in 1963, Fred told everyone that their baby died in childbirth and instead adopted a mixed-race baby. But obviously their marriage was rocky and Fred's interest in normal sex was not there. He wanted, quote, oral sex, bondage sex, sodomy at all hours of the day and night. And in 1964, Raina gave birth to Anne Marie. I've seen different reports that her name was Anna Marie and Anne Marie. So I don't know if maybe she, like, changed it. I'm not really sure.
I mean, I would after that. After being associated with that family.
It gets worse. Just wait. So, do you know how this is pronounced? Gloucester? Gloucester?
No.
I need to see. I'm going to look it up. The family moved to Gloucester. Wow, I literally just looked it up and I still mispronounced it.
You got it, babe.
Gloucester, I think it's how it's pronounced.
To start from the top.
The family... You know what? I'm just going to leave it in here. The people can know that I don't know how to pronounce shit.
I was just giving you the opportunity to have a fresh run at it.
Thank you. The family moved to Gloucester after Fred was involved in an accident that killed a little boy. I read it was a car accident. But at the time, Raina and Fred had met a woman named Anna McFall, whose boyfriend was killed in an accident. And she ended up moving with them. Which is so freaking bizarre. I don't even know. There wasn't even any more elaboration. I went really deep down into the depths to be like, were they related? What is the association? But I couldn't find that much. Fred got a job at a slaughterhouse that helped him further develop his morbid obsession with corpses, blood, and dismemberment. Raina attempted to leave Fred at this point, but he wouldn't let her take the kids. She ended up leaving him anyway, but came back for the kids a short while after. When she did return, she found Anna and Fred living together in a trailer. And in 1967, Anna became pregnant. She insisted that Fred divorce Raina and marry her instead. So you want to know how he responded to the pressure?
How?
He responded to the pressure of marriage by killing her, methodically dismembering her and her unborn child, cutting off her fingers, toe, and toes, and burying her near the trailer park.
So this is the lady that, like, came with them?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And she was pregnant with his kid.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Double murder. Is that... I'm sorry. I'm just... If...
Yeah.
That's double murder, right?
Mm-hmm. Raina moved back into the trailer after Anna's death, and at the time, Fred began openly fondling Charmaine. She's three. 3 fucking years old. It gets worse. It's so bad. That's what I'm saying. It's awful. Just trigger warning, trigger warning. So obviously Fred couldn't keep his job at the slaughterhouse, but the fucking damage was done, and he began working as a bakery delivery driver, and it was here that he would meet his future wife, 16-year-old Rosemary Letts. See what I did there? They're both, you know, they're both connected.
Love it. It's growth.
So Rose participated in sex work, but she especially enjoyed having sex with other men while Fred watched. He even took photos of Rose to post swinger ads in magazines. She's 16!
What is, like, the age of consent in this?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. 18, probably?
Still, that, even if it's not, even if it is 16, that's still...
Well, Rose's father ended up kicking her out because she got pregnant, and so she went to live with Fred, who's been in and out of jail, so he's literally serving time while she's taking care of his 6-year-old kid and other daughter, which is Anne Marie. So 6 and 4, I believe they were. And she gave birth to Heather in 1970, which is the same year that Fred's daughter Charmaine actually did disappear. Rose abused Fred's daughters constantly. She would strip the girls and tie them to their beds where they were not allowed to speak or make a sound. Quote, if she heard them talking in bed at night, she would beat them across the legs with a leather strap. She also gagged them with ripped sheets or strips of sticky tape so they wouldn't be heard by the neighbors if they cried out.
Wow. I mean, this is...
She's 16 when she's still doing this.
This is the traumatic reenactment from the stuff she went through as a kid, right?
I don't know. I wish there is a funny way to, like, add humor to this, but there's just not. There's really not. Charmaine's body was discovered under the kitchen floor of their home after 20 years, with her fingers, toes, and kneecaps missing. Everyone thinks Rose hid Charmaine's body until Fred was released from prison, at which point he was the one who disposed of her body and dismembered her body. When Raina came looking for Charmaine, Fred did the same thing to her. He killed her and buried her and put her remains in the trailer park location. So they're, I think, at 3 murders at this point.
Serial killer.
Yeah, I think they're already at 3. Well, Fred and Rose married in January 1972 and had another girl, Mae West, in June. At this point, they decided they needed to buy a home to raise their family and support Rose's sex work business.
You gotta support the breadwinner.
Yeah, you do. He was just stealing to make ends meet. They settled on 25 Cromwell Street. Fred told the neighbor that he was going to turn his new cellar into a place for Rose to entertain clients or soundproof it and use it as a torture chamber. Instead, he did a little of both. His first client was his 8-year-old daughter, Anne Marie. He believed that it was his parental duty to break in his daughters. He and Rose undressed her and told her she was lucky that she had such caring parents. They were making sure that when she got married, she would be able to satisfy her husband.
And oh my god, I'm like crawling, like, ugh.
This is what I'm saying. Christian made me sound like I'm such a drama queen.
In general, you are.
It's horrible. And on top of that, I was like, oh, I'm going to throw up. I felt like I was going to be sick. Or I really felt like I was going to be sick earlier. And he had no idea. He had no idea. Okay, but now you can all suffer with me. Anne Marie's hands were tied behind her and a gag was put in her mouth. While Rose held her down, her father raped her. The pain was so severe that she couldn't go to school for several days. She was warned that if she ever told anyone, she'd be beaten. In 1972, the Wests hired 17-year-old Caroline Owens as a nanny. And it wasn't long before Caroline tried to leave, and the couple abused her, raped her, and threatened her, too. Caroline's mother noticed the bruises and ended up calling the police, but the magistrate didn't believe that the Wests were capable of such violence, and they were just fined. So let's just reiterate real quick. Keep the timeline, the score straight. We're at 3 murders between the both of them. And terrifyingly horrible amount, the amount of rapes. And these are just the ones that are known. And age-wise, Rose is 19. She's also pregnant again at this point. And Fred's 31. The West's body count quickly rose to 4 after Linda Goff moved in, Linda Goff moved in at 25 Cromwell Street to help with the children. It's not known what caused the dispute, but the West killed her, and she was dismembered in the usual way. Her toes, fingertips, and kneecaps were removed, and she was buried in a pit in the garage. Rose then gave birth to their first baby boy, Stephen, in August 1973. She has so many fucking kids. She has so many kids. I just need to let you guys know.
I mean, she's constantly doing sex work. I mean, are they all Fred's kids doing that, or?
No, well, there's a couple kids later that aren't his, and then there's a few that are his. But he, like, got off on it. He, like, enjoyed the fact that she was having other people's babies.
Wow.
So, like I said, the recent rape charge that was dismissed, now they have a new baby, and then they also just murdered Linda. So they felt like they needed to celebrate. So they abducted, tortured, and raped Carol Ann Cooper for a week. And once they were done with her, they strangled, dismembered, and buried her body under the house.
This is the same girl that her mother called the police, right?
No, that's a different one. That's Caroline.
So close.
Caroline and Carol Ann.
Same thing.
At this point, Fred was enlarging the cellar and building an extension to the main house because he needed more room to store the bodies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there sex work going so well that they just have renovation funds to just keep expanding this house?
He was stealing. So he was in and out of jail.
Like, so he was like being a burglar, like, you know, stealing from other people.
Yeah, he was like in and out of jail this entire time, which is so bizarre because literally all the police had to do was go into his fucking house.
Probably smelled like shit.
He put cement over each of the bodies. Like,
okay.
So it wouldn't smell. But at the same time, he ends up murdering, like, they have a spree for 25 years. All they had to do was just go in the house, and they would have seen child abuse and all kinds of stuff, you know?
Wow.
So there was a very, 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 very big issue with the police in that area.
Just sucking.
Yeah. On December 27th, college student Lucy Parrington was spending Christmas holidays at her mom's. She went to visit a friend and left to catch a bus around 10 p.m., It was around this time that she ran into Fred and Rose West, who did the same thing that they did to Caroline,
Wow.
Actually, no, they didn't do it to Caroline, that they did to Caroline. We'll edit that part out. They raped and tortured her for a week before dismembering and burying her in the home renovations. Fred actually cut himself dismembering her and went to the hospital for stitches on January 4th, 1974. So January 4th, all the way from December 27th. Like, that's just sickening. Therese Siegenhauer, Shirley Hubbard, and Juanita Mott also met the same fate as Carol Ann Cooper and Lucy Parrington. Their tortured, dismembered bodies were buried under the cellar floor of the West House. Shirley's head had been wrapped entirely with tape, and a plastic tube was inserted in her nose so that she could breathe. Juanita was subjected to even more extreme bondage. She was gagged with a ligature made with 2 long white nylon socks, a brassiere, and 2 pairs of tights, one within the other. She was tied with a length of plastic-covered rope with loops tied around her arms and thighs, both wrists, both ankles, and her skull, horizontally and vertically, backwards and forwards across her body until she could only wriggle like a trapped animal. A 7-foot length rope with a slip knot forming a noose was probably used to suspend her body from the beams of the cellar. And throughout their time at 25 Cromwell, Rosemary and Fred rented out to lodgers. So while he was also renovating the cellar and stuff, do you hear Ty?
Our dog is just freaking out.
So we record in our closet because we have such a loud apartment building. And we have to lock the dogs out, and they're so needy. They're scratching in the back, so if that's what you hear, we're not torturing them. They're just very needy.
I promise they are. I guess if Nicole's dramatic, those dogs are times 1,000.
Oh, they are the loves of my life, though, besides you.
And they're also our mascots.
True. The true crime couple mascots.
Wow, did you try to steal someone?
Yes, I did. I just tried to steal it. Yikes, I'm so sorry.
Just appropriating more things, Blanca.
Wow.
I love you.
I love you. So, throughout their time at 25 Cromwell, Rose and Fred rented out to lodgers. Like I said, they were doing the renovations upstairs and the downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they kind of got away with it. And one of those lodgers was 18-year-old Shirley. And just wait, this is a freaking throws a wrench into the mix. She was bisexual and somehow managed to hook up with both Fred and Rose. But it gets real crazy when Shirley gets knocked up with Fred's baby, but Rose is pregnant from another man.
Wow.
But Rose is pissed. So she has Fred kill her and dismember both her and her unborn baby.
Wow.
So the cellar was full with too many bodies, so Shirley and her baby were buried in the garden. And in November 1978, Louise West was born. Fred also impregnated Anne Marie at this time, but her pregnancy was in her fallopian tube and was terminated. Just throwing that out there. He's still fucking his daughter. A troubled teenager named Allison Chambers would also join Shirley in the garden. So now we're up to 11.
Wow.
And
Double digits.
This is so bad that some of the details, I was just like, I can't even go research anymore because mm-hmm. I thought I might cry. I might be crying like Ty Ty. So in June of 1980, Rose gave birth to Barry, Fred's second son. She gave birth again in April of 1982 to Rosemary Jr. I didn't know
that. For the girls.
Yeah.
That's so cute. Rosemary Jr. Oh, I love it. That's so cute.
Oh my gosh. Forever.
I'm gonna flip over real quick. Because I'm fat. Okay. Let's do this.
But let's take a minute. She gave birth in June of 1980. June of 1980 and then April of 1982. Still, this woman is not wasting any time.
Well, I mean, sounds like there's a lot of sex going around and not a lot of protection.
That's very true. And in July of 1983, Rose gave birth to another daughter named Lucy Anna. Both Rosemary Jr. and Lucy Anna were not Fred's kids, and they were half black, like Tara. Which Tara was... Who is Tara?
Who is Tara?
Where did that come from? What the fuck?
Is there another kid?
Maybe that was just a misprint. Let me go look real quick. Oh, wait, here it is. Let's look. Who the fuck is Tara? It says Tara in here, but I don't see a Tara being introduced. Oh, wait. Here we go. 7 months after Rose gave birth to Tara in December of 1977, that's when Shirley died and was born. Shirley and her unborn baby were killed.
In your defense, she is having kids and killing people at an astounding rate.
Right, and that's what I was thinking, is this bitch is pregnant. I feel like people are always complaining they can barely move when they're pregnant. And this bitch is killing people.
I mean, with Fred's help.
That's true, but still so fucking weird. Weird and gross and ugh. Okay, so now we figured out who Tara is. Apologies. Or Tara. So Rose became increasingly irrational at this point and beat the children without any warning. Obviously, having that many fucking kids and trying to be a fucking psycho.
Yeah, serial killer and a bad mother is two hard things to juggle.
And have men in and out with business.
Trying to pay the mortgage.
How can she have suitor? I mean, I guess people are into that type of thing, pregnant fetishes. I don't know. It's weird.
Maybe she wants, like, a discount during...
Alright, well, it's about to get worse. In June of 1980, Rose gave birth to Barry, which was Fred's second son. Wait, I just repeated this. I'm a fucking idiot. In 1986, Heather told her friend about her father's advances, her mother's affairs, and the beatings. The friend obviously told her parents, but the friend's parents were friends of the Wests. So they told them, who then murdered, dismembered, and buried Heather in the garden.
Wow. Would then let the parents go?
Yeah, I guess they had just told everyone that Heather went away, which that makes no fucking sense.
So their friends are crazy too.
I have no idea. I guess, like I said, there's so many question marks. Like, how the fuck did this continue for 25 years?
Right.
Well, this section that I wrote in my little essay of what my story is, "Let's Fucking Get 'Em." That's the title. So, Detective Constable Hazel Savage, that's her name. Hazel Savage. What an awesome
Amazing name.
name. Yeah.
I also want to say that all the detective names in other countries are so much better. Like constable, magistrate, like
Yeah,
they all have
you're
cool
right.
names.
Detective Constable Hazel Savage. Well, she was assigned to the case, the West case, after a friend of one of Fred's rape victims reported it. So the police finally get a fucking search warrant, and on August 6, 1992, they arrive at 25 Cromwell Street. And they're looking for pornography and evidence of child abuse at this point. That's it.
Wow.
They obviously.
Little do they know.
Yeah, they fucking stumble in on.
A graveyard.
Literally. So they find a ton of evidence and arrest Rose and Fred for the rape and sodomy of a minor. But the freaking case collapses because two key witnesses decide not to testify against them. So I read that they were basically in and out of jail at this point. Obviously, all the kids were taken from them. So Fred eventually confesses to the murder of Heather after the other children keep telling childcare workers that they don't want to end up under the patio like Heather.
Oh, they're gonna find the bodies.
Yeah, so they find a bunch of bodies over there, and that's the reason that they understand there's so much more. So they didn't get the case with the rape and sodomy of the minor, but it just like sent them down the rabbit hole
Right.
because Hazel Savage, and on top of that, she also knew she knew of Fred from back when he was with Raina, and she knew Charmaine. So she's like, "Where the fuck is Charmaine? Where
Right.
is everyone? They're
There's people
literally all
missing.
fucking dead." Which, like, so sad. So she obviously figures out that that's what's really happened to her, and they search it and they find all the bodies, and they're able to arrest them and charge them with murder. But this is the best fucking part because I love when people do something together and then they get arrested and they just turn on each other, you
I
know?
love it. Not us, right, babe?
Never.
You would snitch on me in 6 seconds.
Well,
I
that's
know
ex
you would. You'd be like, "My boyfriend is crazy.
He
I'm a
do it! Well,
victim."
that's exactly what Fred and Rose did because Fred was like, "Okay, I'll just save her. I'll take all the blame." So he admits to
Oh, he's
everything.
so chivalrous.
He's so chivalrous when he's not killing everyone.
Or raping.
Yeah, or brutally
Dismembering.
raping. Yeah. Disgusting. But Rose is like, "Nah, fuck that guy." So she ends up turning against him and saying that he is the one who did it all, but there's so much evidence that she was part of it, you know? And at their joint hearing, Fred attempts to console her, but she moves away from him. She's like, "Don't touch me." And then she tells the police that he makes her sick, so which it sends him spiraling. He's like so upset, which I think is so bizarre. Like, you can murder and mutilate and dismember and rape all these people, but you can't handle your wife being like, "Nah, fuck this."
I mean, maybe having her made it all right in his head, and having her betray on him makes everything like collapse in on him. Because if she was in on it, like having your soulmate, you know, as messed up as you are, you know, they kind of go down together, but now she's not even with
Did you
him.
just say as messed up as you are?
No. Like I meant like him and her.
Oh, I see what you're
Not
saying.
you. You're so
I was like, "Why are you
selfish.
calling me out like that? Jeez."
I mean, you're crazy if you're not like that.
So are you. Anyways, it was clearly devastating for him, and just before noon on New Year's Day, 1994, at Winston Green Prison in Birmingham, when the guards were having lunch, Fred hanged himself with strips of bed sheet. He had clearly planned his suicide well in advance so that he wouldn't be discovered. What a fucking coward.
Right. He deserved to be in general population.
See, that's the thing that I was actually reading a really, really good case Because I've been reading so many. This is so sad, but I've been reading so many extra murder cases where there was one in Pakistan where it was Sharia law, and so it was an eye for an eye, and he had like brutally dismembered and raped all these victims, so they were gonna kill him and they were gonna cut up his body and then burn it. But then I guess the judges ruled that it was against, oh my god, Tyrese needs to calm the fuck down. I guess they ruled that it was against their religion to do that, so they just ended up killing him.
Okay.
Not dismembering him. But it was a very interesting concept, because it felt like he really did deserve that, you know? Rose went on trial at Winchester Crown Court in October, and Anne-Marie took the stand against her stepmother, which... This is brutal. This is a brutal, brutal, brutal end. So let me just read you. This is a direct quote. She says, Anne-Marie was Daddy's girl, although Daddy raped her, gave her syphilis, got her pregnant, and kicked her in the face with steel-capped boots. For years, she was abused both by her parents, by clients who came in from her basement room, by her uncle, John West, who killed himself while waiting trial. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Her uncle actually raped her more than 300 times. So it's no wonder he killed himself. And then her father even made instruments to torture, specifically Anne-Marie. And this is really super interesting. One of the articles I read said an experiment was done upon baby chimpanzees to demonstrate their innate need for a maternal presence. It shows that if you remove a chimp mother and replace her with a soft object, the baby will cling to that object, turn to it for protection, adore it. But if you embed sharp spikes into the object, the baby chimp will still continue to hug and love and need its mother substitute. A child loves its mother. Anne-Marie never complained because she didn't know she was being abused. After she'd run away at age 15, she still sent them Mother's Day and Father's Day cards. She looked at Rosemarie West in the courtroom, full of love and affection and tears. After she finished giving her evidence, she threw herself off a bridge and tried to kill herself. She said that, yes, she missed them. Despite all that they did, they were all she had. Obviously, that is so fucking sad.
That's tragic. I mean, they were putting all these, messed up human beings out into the world with all the abuse that they were doing to their kids. It's sad.
Yeah, it's terrible. The judge actually sentenced Rose to life in jail on 10 counts of murder in November 1995, and she's still in jail right now.
She's still Do they not alive. Have the death penalty?
That's a great question. No.
She's gonna rot in there forever.
Yeah. The last executions in the UK were by hanging and took place in 1964, prior to capital punishment being abolished for murder. 1965 in Great Britain, and 1973 in Northern Ireland.
Interesting.
Yeah, so she's just gonna sit there. She actually tried to fight it and say that.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. She tried to get released. Well, because originally they could only sentence her to 25 years. So she was sentenced to 25 years, and then it was commuted to a life sentence.
And so she's trying to fight that. The commuting.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, she needs to die in there. She is a despicable human being.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
It was a brutal one, and they're, a really known... I wanted to do, a heavy hitter. I wanted to do someone, as last podcast would say, I wanted to do someone who most people would know, but at the same time, maybe do it in a different way where it's still brutal, it's still informative, but I don't know, just a little different, you know, per request by Paulina.
Young Lena.
So let us know your feedback. Do you like the bigger cases? Do you like the smaller cases? What do you want us to cover, you know?
Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe. You guys can find us on Spotify for right now. I know we're working on Apple iTunes, but we are on Anchor, and Anchor is going to get us hooked up with all of those posting sites. So thank you to all of our close friends that are listening, and hope to see you soon.
Yeah, rate us, share us, subscribe us, please. I'm actually looking to see if we showed up on...
Leave a comment.
Yeah, please. I'm actually looking to see. Oh, and speaking of which, we will be interviewing Garrett Dameron, the district attorney who's prosecuting the Hollywood Ripper. So send us your questions that you have for him, because that will be amazing. I'm really excited. I think that will be a really cool interview. And I will obviously do a case of all his crimes so that we can be prepared going into the interview.
But yeah. I think that'll be one of our, like, part one, part twos.
Yeah, definitely. Because the trial is still going on.
Right. You said sentencing's about to happen, right?
Yeah, they just did closing arguments, I think, last week. So I think it'll be really, really good. And I would love to have participation. And I would love for everyone to share us because, you know, it would just be nice. I like to do this. All right. Well, see you later. Bye.
I like doing this with you.
Love you, bye.
Barf.